It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Exodus today. We're beginning the study in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 1, verse 1 is where we're going to begin. And so if this is the first time that you have tuned into the program, why, you're in for a blessing. You're in for the beginning of a wonderful book. So please that you study with us as we enjoy the study of the book of Exodus. If you've been a listener for many years, why, just enjoy as you have in the past the study of God's precious Word. Again, Exodus chapter 1. While you're opening your Bibles to there, I want to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, please do, and write to us at Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles. We will be reading the first chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 1, verse 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies, and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field, and all their service wherein they made them serve, was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrath, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then shall she live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, every daughter ye shall save alive. Let's begin with prayer after reading this precious book. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come and enjoy this time. please, as we begin to introduce this book and begin this study, please that you will guide and lead us ever so carefully. And we are following you ever so carefully in each and every part of this precious, precious book, your living word, your holy word. Please that this word we know is written by, penned by Moses, but it is written, literally, written by you, directing Moses' hand as every letter of every word was written, so that we may have your perfect word. This isn't a book written by many men, even though God chose to use men to write it. Father, we know it's your word. It's your living word. It's your holy word. It's your inspired word. So please, let us never forget that, never take away from it, or never add to it. Now help us today, Father, to study your precious word. We'll follow the leadership of your precious Spirit, your Holy Spirit, as he guides and leads us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we begin this study at the very beginning of the book, and we find some very familiar names, the names of Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And as we look at these names, and then we add Joseph in, of course, because he was in the land already, these 12 sons of Jacob, they begin, and we find that as we number them, we find 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And then we find in the 6th verse, Joseph died and all his brethren and all that generation. You know, that's one thing that we're certain of, and that is we're going to die. Joseph, even though he was such a godly man and a man of such power in the land of Egypt, he still died. Each and every one of us die, and so did Issachar and Reuben and Simeon and Levi and Judah and Zebulun and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. They all died. And so will we, and so we need to be prepared to die. And so as they took their time of life and then their time of death, and we find that as Joseph died, that the children of Israel during that period of time had tremendous growth. And you remember, if you would, back in the study of Genesis, that when Joseph went into the land of Egypt and began to be ruler over Egypt only under Pharaoh. He was the only one that was over. Joseph had control literally of everything in the land of Egypt. People literally bowed down to Joseph as they did to Pharaoh. And to have that type of honor and yet not be put to death by Pharaoh is an unbelievable statement and thought. And yet Pharaoh looked so, the king of Egypt looked at Joseph as such a man of power and authority that he literally honored Joseph. And so by doing that, and by having such power, we find that Joseph at that time was 30 years old. Well, at the end of the book of Genesis, we find that Joseph died, and Joseph was 110 years old. And so that gives us 80 years. 80 years have passed that Joseph was in the land of Egypt in the position of power. He was there years before, because he was Potiphar's slave, his servant. He was in prison. There was many things that had taken place, but from the time he was Pharaoh's man, Pharaoh's individual that controlled and had authority, from that time that he went before Pharaoh and told him of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine, and Pharaoh listened to him and put him in charge, he was 30 years old when that all started. And so now, 80 years has passed, Joseph is dead, and as he has died, we find something here that, again, as we said, and as God had promised, that they would be fruitful and multiply. The children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. If we would go to Genesis chapter 46, we'll find that that's exactly what God had promised. Genesis chapter 46, verse 3. Genesis 46, verse 3. I am, and he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make thee a great nation. That was in the third verse of chapter 46 of the book of Genesis, and that promise was given unto Jacob. And so now that this time has passed, that promise was being fulfilled and continued to be fulfilled as this nation continued to grow in power and in number in every direction. And it worried the Egyptians because something happened. We find in the eighth verse, now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Time has a way of changing things. Joseph at one time, again, was the man of authority and of power and of strength. Only Pharaoh himself was over him. So no matter where Joseph went throughout the whole land, he was held in great respect, given all authority. Whatever he said is what went. It was that he was that powerful. But as time passed, we find that the king, and as Joseph lived, and then as Joseph died, and then as generations passed, and we find now that a king has come over Egypt that didn't know Joseph. It's believed in history that it's very possible that the kings, the Pharaoh that was over Egypt when Joseph went down there, originally when he was taken, sent down there by his brothers as a servant, as a slave, and found his way to Pharaoh's house and in this position, that there was even relation. There was a family tie between the Pharaoh and Abraham. And then as that passed, and as Egypt took back control of their land and got a full-blood Egyptian into that place, they didn't remember the blessings that Joseph brought upon the land and the wisdom that Joseph, through the words and the hand of God, brought to their people, and the strength and the growth that Egypt had because of Joseph. That was forgotten. That was forgotten. And it's sad to say, because, you know, many times in our land and even in our families, that you will have a father, a grandfather maybe a great-grandfather and great-grandmother that were very godly people. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They proclaimed the gospel. They told folks how to be saved. And they taught their children. And they taught their grandchildren. But as that generation passed, and maybe the children decided that, well, we're going to go to a little more of a church that's more like today. I don't like the old hymns. I don't like just the simple preaching of God's Word. I want the band, and I want the excitement, and I want my heart thrilled as the beat of that music is there, and that's what I want. And I really prefer the moderate preaching, not so much out of God's Word, but more of a social gospel and more preaching of the psychology and things like that, because that's more of today. And you know, if you as a parent choose that today, then what's going to happen is you are walking away from God. But your children, they are the ones that are really going to pay for that. Maybe you knew Jesus Christ because your parents led you to Jesus. took you to a good Bible preaching, soul winning church, a church that stands on the simple word of God and doesn't have all these social activities that they have today. But what took place, what happens, is that you continue to walk away from God. Well, what happens is then your children probably won't even be saved. And their children probably won't even ever hear the gospel. That's what happened here. The remembrance of Joseph, it was gone. And that's what's going to happen if you are not so careful to stay in a Bible-preaching, soul-winning church, one that proclaims and teaches the Word of God, one that stays. He says, well, I don't like those old stuffy hymns. I just don't like them. Well, get over it and get into the Word of God and get your heart right. Because I'm telling you, if you don't like those old hymns, there's something wrong with your heart. It's that simple. And so here we find that time had passed. Joseph was forgotten. And as time has passed, and in my own generation, in my own time here, I have watched many, many folks leave the Word of God. Folks that I never dreamed would be tricked by the devil and brought out and away. I just never dreamed it would happen. Never thought for a minute that some of the folks that I know are going now to a liberal church that doesn't preach the gospel, a liberal church that would rather have the entertainment, they have walked away from God. And if you're listening to this program and you're one of them, repent, turn back to God, ask Him to forgive you of that great sin of leaving Him, and return back to the church, to a church that preaches the simple gospel and sings the beautiful old hymns and doesn't have this social club that's there. Please listen. Please come today. Please come to those churches. There are few and far between because most have compromised. But please today listen to the Word of God. Listen to the words that are spoken. The gospel is being forgotten today. Joseph, in his power, at one time there would be not a thought that they would be allowed to take Joseph's bones out of the land of Egypt because he was such a great man, such a powerful man. And there would have been this mighty fortress put up in memory of him. But by the time had passed, and Joseph had been forgotten, and there was a king brought into the land, brought into that position that didn't know Joseph. And they began to look at these mighty people that grew so exceedingly. The children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. By the time the nation of Israel leaves, we'll find that they had went in number from 70 souls that entered into Egypt to over 2 million as they left. Some believe that figure is 1.5 million, some exceeds 3 million. That's how God blessed this nation. He promised, and God's promise is true. God didn't, that was one of the promises He had that didn't have any ties to it. He just says, I will make you. And you know, it's the same thing today when He says, I will save you. I will keep you. If you come to Me by faith, I will keep you. That's all we need to do. God's Word is there. And that Word is not that keeping of the Holy Spirit as we are sealed. That's not words of, if you do this and this, then I will keep you. No, it's God's Word. And God said, I will keep you. I will seal you. And the Holy Spirit will never leave you. Now, I need you to see those words, and I need you to know those words. And here's this nation of Israel that is coming to life from 70 souls to 2 million, and now all of a sudden there's a king present that doesn't know them. And he said unto his people, this is verse 9, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land." They should have, if they would have remembered Joseph's father Jacob as he came into the land. But you see, people forget. And they forgot all the blessings that they had gained and the great strength and might that they had gotten because of Joseph and because of the people of Israel that were there. Instead of understanding that this number is getting so great, and it's greater than we are, saying, "Are you ready to go home? Are you ready to go back to your land, to the promised land, the land of Canaan, where you came from?" Instead of that, why, they recognized that there was a problem here. And if an enemy would come against Egypt, what's the chances of Israel turning against us? And so, you see, they were concerned about something that they shouldn't have had to worry about, because they should have just released Israel and let them go. Instead of that, they decided to make them slaves and servants. Instead of living down in Goshen, having the blessings of the land of Goshen, and they just continued to multiply at such a fast rate, much faster than the Egyptians. And they were afraid. "Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and come to pass that when there falleth out any war, that they join also unto our enemies." All right, verse 11. "Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built Pharaoh treasure cities." So really, they literally took the Israelites, put them into captivity, into a position of a slave, and they demanded and they used this labor, this cheap labor, to build two cities, Pithom and Ramses. And these cities then were built by them. But the more they afflicted them, the 12th verse says, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. The Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. Now, to be very cruel to them, and for the sole purpose of breaking them. They wanted to break the nation of Israel. They wanted to take their life away from them, physical life, and they wanted to break their will. Because, you see, they were growing into a great and mighty nation. And Pharaoh and the leaders of Egypt and the people of Egypt were afraid of them. And they just kept, and they, in the 14th verse, "and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in bricks, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service, wherein they made them serve, was with rigor." And they did it to break them. They didn't do it to knowing that they're very good workmen and very strong, and so I know that you can build me a mighty city. Instead of that, they did it to destroy them. The harder we work them, the less food we give them, well, I know that we're going to break them down, and we'll break them down in numbers. And the king of Egypt spake unto the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shifneth, and the name of the other was Puah. And one means a splendor, and the other means beauty. And, you know, that is the appearance of the Egyptian women. I mean, they were very beautiful women. And here they are even titled here. But let's see what they do. And he said, "When ye do the office of midwife to the Hebrew women, see them unto their stools, if it be a son. When a son was born, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God. Look at that. The midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. You know, we find here, of course, with the just the birth of the nation of Israel, immediately we see a hatred for Israel, a fear and a hatred. And that fear and hatred today is still very much alive. We have many folks that despise Israel, that don't like Jews, that would choose to put them to death, to annihilate them if possible. And so you listen to folks, and they don't understand why this country and this land supports the nation of Israel. Well, the reason this land supports the nation of Israel today is because we have one in the leadership that chooses to stand for the Word of God. Now, I don't know how long he's going to stand. I don't know how long that we're going to continue to help and support Israel. You know, as Israel and Palestine and the Palestinians continue to desire to have some of the land, and I have told you before that the land of Israel, the land of Canaan, was given. That land was given to the nation of Israel. There is no other land ever given to any other people. The land that you may own, the land that I may own, it's borrowed from God. It is not ours. We are tenants to it. But the land of Israel, this land that man tries to take away from Israel, this land that is trying to be divided away from Israel, it's Israel's land. It was given to them by the owner of the land, God Himself. And so I don't know what your politics are. I don't know what you think. But if you want to say you're a Christian, and if you want to say that you believe the Word of God, then you better not be standing against the nation of Israel when it comes to that land. Now, the nation of Israel has missed Jesus Christ. They're still looking for the Messiah to come. And there have been thousands upon thousands, millions of Israelites in the last 2,000 years that have died without Jesus Christ. And they are in the lake of fire awaiting their placement in they're waiting in the place of torment, awaiting the placement into the lake of fire, into hell eternally. That's exactly what's going to happen to every Jew that dies without Jesus Christ. So their ignorance has cost them their soul. But they still have the land. It's still theirs. Now, because they were disobedient, there was a deal here. Because their disobedience, they have not been able to own and control that land. Hopefully someday, and we know, I say that incorrectly, there will be a day when they will return and will possess that land, even though man is against them. Many folks today, many nations today, would love to see every Jew, every Israelite put to death. Well, you best not hope for that. You best not wish for that, because they are God's chosen people, and we have the birth of that nation right here, and we're beginning right at this time now. They are in the brickyards. The Egyptians are doing everything to Israel to destroy them. They're even saying, men, all the male children, kill. But the midwives wouldn't. Why wouldn't they? Because they feared God. We need to fear God, my friend. We need to come by faith to Jesus Christ. We need to be saved today. Please, as we were talking today and visiting today over God's Word, your heart was touched. please, my friend, please listen to the call of the Holy Spirit and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. Please, today, come. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?